So, the orientation, the foundation. Well, that's really Luke chapter 1 through Luke 6:19. It's everything that's happened thus far in the Gospel of Luke. Luke's narrative that establishes this person, Jesus, as the incarnation, the presence of God on earth. You hear the stories of Jesus' birth and of Jesus baptized and proclaimed the Son of God, stories of Jesus starting to preach and to heal. And then just before this passage, Jesus picks his 12 disciples. So we're good to go. We have a Messiah, the promised Savior from God, check. We have the disciples, faithful followers, check. This is going to be great. What a foundation, what an orientation that you can count on. We're all set. You may be aware that this is the very same orientation, foundation that we have here as we gather at Hope Church. This is a community organized around faith in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, God with us. Not just a belief or a concept, but a living foundation. The living Christ who defines who we are. Gathered here, we're right there with the disciples. We're called to follow. We're gathered around to listen to Jesus, the Son of God. This is good. This is great. We're all set. And then we arrive at Luke 6, verse 20. Jesus looked up at his disciples. Isn't it interesting how it says that? It seems that Jesus looked his disciples right in the eyes, got their attention. And what Jesus does then is offer up a big heaping helping of disorientation to them. Which is to say that just as things are all set, Jesus turns everything upside down. Here I am, Jesus says, and here's the deal. If you are poor, if you are hungry, if you are distraught, if you are despised, then God bless you. God will take care of you. But if you have money, if you have food, if you are happy, if you have comfort, if people like you, then woe. Woe to you. God is not with you, and God will take away what you already have. All of which really spoils that nice oriented feeling that everyone was having. Woe, Jesus says. Jesus had just picked those 12 disciples. I wonder if any of them were having second thoughts at this point. How about us disciples? If you don't feel a bit unsettled, disoriented, a few second thoughts after listening to those blessings and woes from Jesus, if those woes don't make you say, whoa, then we need to listen again. There are many different circumstances among us now. Each time we gather, they change in our lives. Those blessings and woes will connect to each of us in different ways. But something for all of us to hear from Jesus, Jesus who identifies God with the poor and the hungry, Jesus who identifies God with the suffering and despised ones, hearing that should be enough for us to realize that Jesus is saying something that is meant to unsettle, meant to disrupt and disorient people's assumptions about religion, about faith, about life, about God. And there's something about faith that doesn't like that. Faith foundations and orientations don't like disruption. Whether for Christians or for other faiths, for individuals or groups, faith is a foundation that we can easily try to make a fortress for us. Faith is a foundation of life that can easily become an endorsement of your particular life. Faith is a foundation of God's presence in your life can easily become a sense of God on your side. But Jesus Christ says that he is about something different. To orient yourself to Jesus as a foundation of faith is to expect to be confronted, to have things turned upside down and disoriented in your life. It is an orientation that does not place God in our hands, but places us in God's hands to be formed in who and how God wants us to be in life. And that's a very different way of living. The thing is, I think it's just about impossible to know what precisely to do with those disorienting blessings and woes that Jesus proclaims. It's a disoriented world that we live in. Intractable problems of suffering and injustice, people filling themselves, grabbing power, abusing religion. And we're all wrapped up in that in ways that are difficult to untangle. And if that isn't enough, sometimes plenty of other disorientations come to us too. Our own suffering and need, our own doubts and questions, our own losses and tears. So it's in the midst of all this disorientation that Jesus and the world and our lives all throw at us that something has to happen. And in fact, we have to choose what is going to happen for us in the midst of that disorientation. We certainly don't choose all our circumstances or experiences, but in the midst of the disorientation that is life, we can choose where to turn. We could turn to defensiveness and self-justification, to superiority or to cynicism, to indifference, to fear, to despair. Or we can turn to the one who speaks these blessings and woes, turn to Jesus. And it seems to me that what Jesus wants to do is to disorient us enough so much that the only place we are left to turn to is to turn back to him. Because what Jesus does then is give a new orientation. And my paraphrase of that goes like this. Are you confused enough, unsettled enough now? Good. Then here's what you can do. Here's all you can do. Love extravagantly. Love even, especially, your enemies. Bless and pray for those it is hardest for you to bless and pray for. Give up your weapons and get rid of your greed and don't cling to your goods. You know what is good and right about life. Do that to and for others. That's what Jesus says. In this crazy life, it's the only crazy way of life that makes any sense of all, to love extravagantly. It's a new orientation. But it really brings us back to where we started. Because this Jesus who says this is an expression of God with us, the extravagant love and grace of God that reveals who God is and who we are to be. I had a transcendent moment during worship last week, after listening to Jill's sermon first, of course. That was the first transcendent moment. And then, yeah, I was. And then sitting where Jill was, I got, during the choir anthem, looking at that rose window there and looking at the beams of the church. And I was caught up in the communion of the saints, thinking of all the hundreds of years, the thousands of people, the generations that have worshiped God here in this space. Out of the communion of the saints gone before us and with us, and I felt at that moment grateful for and connected to and blessed by them through God's Spirit. I had a moment yesterday knowing that there was a political rally going on in the shadow of Hope Church just a couple days before this week's election. And I thought of all of the political and civic life that's been a part of our nation's history in the past and in now. And I felt in that moment not sure what to make of it all. But here's the thing. There have been, through the life of Hope Church and of this nation, many orientations and disorientations of faith and theology, of law and justice, of polity, of politics and policy. Many foundations that seemed sure but were dismantled. Those foundations and disruptions have happened individually and corporately in this church and in this community and in this nation. And so then there have also been moments where things have been needed to be put back together, a new orientation, a choice, a decision of how to move forward. And what we must claim, what we must be claimed by, what makes us first part of the communion of the saints and not of a party or a politic or even of a nation first is this. Our new orientation is always found in love. Always, always, always. Love that is courageous and challenging and tender. Love that is costly and life-giving. Love that is creative and true. Love that will let go of what is deadly and that will build up beloved community. Always love because God is love and love never ends. Rather, love has us always begin again. Orientation, disorientation, new orientation. Oh, woe, and oh. It's happening all around us in our lives, in our world. And to be a follower of Jesus does not take us away from that. Jesus tosses, throws, sends us right into it, turns us upside down as he does so, until life only makes sense when we echo the presence of the one who is the living foundation of this communion of the saints. Love extravagantly. Bless and pray indiscriminately. Share life abundantly. Love always. Thanks be to God. Amen.